Good morning. Welcome to Senate Finance. With me this morning at the table, Senator Dunleavy, welcome. Vice Chairman Michicki.
Good morning.
Senator Olson, Senator Hoffman, Senator Bishop. Myself, Senator McKinnon. We should be joined shortly by Senator Kelly, who is doing other state business. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, and it is 9:16. On today's agenda before us is SB 82, Alcohol Substance Abuse Program Mitigation, SB 53, Advanced Practice Registered Nurses, and HB 146, Municipal Tax Exemption. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we begin? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to invite Senator McGuire and her staff, Genevieve Wojcicki. Senator McGuire, any comments before the committee moves the bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. Just thank you for your time and effort to move one of these pieces along the way. I look forward to continuing to work with you on ways to reduce our prison costs.
Thank you. Are there questions from Senator McGuire? Seeing and hearing none, we held the public hearing on 4/13/2015. Senator Michicki, will you walk us through the fiscal note?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The first fiscal note is Department of Health and Social Services. The appropriation is behavioral health, allocation is alcohol safety action program, and the OMB component number is 305. Total operating fiscal note is zero from FY 16 through 21. There is zero supplemental cost and zero capital cost for FY 16. The reference program exists within Department of Health and Social Services, but this bill addresses only criminal court sentencing, and it would not impact DHSS programs or services. Fiscal note number two, department is judiciary. The appropriation is the Alaska court system. The allocation is trial courts, and the OMB component number is 768. There's a zero fiscal note from FY 16 through FY 21. Zero estimated supplemental cost and zero estimated capital cost. Having an additional factor to be considered in certain cases will change the items under discussion in some sentencing hearings, but will not materially impact our operations. The court system can implement this bill with no fiscal impact.
Are there questions from committee members on the fiscal notes? Senator Michicki, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 8229-LS0627-H from committee with the attached fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there any objections to moving Senate Bill number 82? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 82 moves from committee. Brief at ease. We're back on the record. The next item before the Senate is Senate Bill 53. It's an act relating to advanced practice Reifides. Back on the record, the next bill before us is Senate Bill Number 53, an act relating to advanced practice registered nursing related to certified directory midwifery and providing for an effective date. This bill is being brought to us by Senator Giesel and her staff, Jane Conway, are both at the microphones. Senator Giesel, if you'd introduce Senate Bill 53 to the Finance Committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you so much for hearing the bill. For the record, I'm Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N. In your packet, you have a chart that looks like this, which simplifies this bill. Over the 34-year history that advanced nurse practitioners have
Senator Giesel, if I could ask you to pause for a moment. Gentlemen, on the right-hand side of your file at the very back, and it's three, or at least in my file, it's two pages from the back. On the right side is the chart that Senator Giesel is raising. It's on the back of your file. Has everybody found it? Thank you. I apologize, Senator Giesel. Everyone was looking for what you're referencing. Please proceed.
Thank you. So this chart will help simplify what I'm going to say, because over the 34 years that the state of Alaska has authorized the practice for advanced nurse practitioners and nurse anesthetists, additional nursing specialties in advanced practice have evolved. And we've created an alphabet soup that is very confusing. So about 15 years ago, the national boards of nursing all agreed that it would be prudent to bring all these various advanced categories under a single title, that being the bottom of the lower half of your chart that you're looking at, the title APRN, or Advanced Practice Registered Nurse. So this term would now encompass the four categories that have already existed, as I said, for 34 years in Alaska clinical practice. We have the certified nurse practitioner, we have the certified nurse midwife, certified registered nurse anesthetist, and certified clinical nurse anesthetist. Each function in various specialty areas, but having all this alphabet soup out there is simply confusing, not only in statute and regulation, but also to the public. So the purpose of this bill is to rein in all of this under that single title. It is an effort that is being executed around the country. In fact, there are 11 states that have completed this transition, as well as some other practice details, which this state, Alaska, does not have to address because we've already done that. But 11 states have corrected these titles. 12 states and us, that is 13 states altogether, are working on this right now. It's a fairly simple update. There are approximately 1,000 APRNs in the state of Alaska. This bill does not change the scope of practice for them. The main reason you're probably wondering why we're here, this sounds like a health care bill, which it was heard in health, but it also has a fiscal note, which we do have folks here that can speak to it, but the reason that we're here before finance is because of the $7,500 fiscal note, which on the second page you will note addresses the regulatory cost for three professional regulatory boards, the Board of Nursing, Board of Medicine, and the Board of Professional Counselors. It is estimated that regulatory updates will amount to about $2,500 for each of those three boards, thus the $7,500. I will speak with confidence on behalf of the Board of Nursing and probably the Medical Board as well. Multiple regulatory projects come up, and these regulatory changes can be incorporated into other regulatory projects, which frankly reduces the cost probably to zero otherwise. But Madam Chair, I'm available for questions. It is a long bill, but my staff, Jane Conway, could take you through the sectional if you're interested.
We are. Ms. Conway. Ms. Conway, if you just go through the first couple pages.
Good morning. Jane Conway, staff to Senator Kathy Giesel. There are 60 sections in this bill.
Ms. Conway, if you could go through the first five so
okay,
the committee gets an effort to
very good
understanding of knowing what changes are.
And just to add, 10 or 12 sections in this bill are do relate to just conforming or technical amendments. To start out, Section 1 just allows APRNs to use their title and initials, their new title and initials on documents, signs, advertising. So now they can use APRN. Sections 2 and 4 were technical and conforming amendments. Section 5 requires regulations to apply to CRNAs, CNs, CNPs, CNMs, and makes conforming amendments. Section 6 adds APRN to a list of licenses and changes the term professional nursing to registered nursing. Section 7 adds a subsection that sets out qualifications for advanced practice registered nurse licenses. Section 8 repeals and reenacts AS 0868190 concerning license examinations. The reason it was repealed and reenacted was basically now that there's registered or practical nurses, they needed to break it out into two sections, and legal drafting wanted to just rewrite it for clarification. Section 9 is a conforming amendment. Section 10 requires DCCED to set fees for APRNs and deletes an obsolete term of vocational nursing that is no longer used. Section 11 removes licensed professional nurse from the titles authorized. 12 adds new subsections authorizing the use of advanced practice registered nurse, CRNAs, CNs, CNPs, CNMs, and associated initials. Section 13 adds APRN as a person who can supervise a practical nurse. Sections 14 and 16 make the impersonation of an APRN as a grounds for denial or suspension if you're a nurse or a CNA. That would be grounds for dismissal. Section 15 requires institutions applying for accreditation of advanced practice registered nurse training to provide certain pieces of information to the Board of Nursing. Going down to 17 and 19 adds APRN to licenses issued by the board, changes the term professional nursing to registered nursing, and declares the unlicensed practice of nursing a public nuisance and provides for injunctive relief. 20 adds APRN to the licensees who may delegate certain nursing duties. Section 21, conforming amendment. 22 defines the practice of advanced practice registered nursing.
Ms. Conway, could we stop right on that one? Senator Giesel, is that a new definition or existing definition in Section 22?
Do you have a statute book? Do you have a statute book?
Right back here.
Brief at ease, Madam Chair.
Brief at ease. Back on the record, Senator Giesel, my question was, is there any new, is there an expansion of the definition of the advanced practice registered nursing?
Madam Chair, it, as I review it with the old statute, it corrects the title to practice of advanced practice registered nursing, and it changes some of the words. Instead of means, it says includes in addition to the practice of registered nursing, and then the scope of practice remains the same. So essentially, the intent is identical.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. That was my understanding of the reading. I just wanted to make sure that I put that on the record. Ms. Conway, if we could proceed, Section 23.
Section 23 to 25 are, again, conforming and technical amendments. Section 26 adds APRNs to persons who are considered justified in conduct that would otherwise be considered the use of force when delivering emergency medical care. I think in that section they're referring to if perhaps a person may need to be restrained in an emergency situation. 27 and 28, conforming amendments. Section 29 adds APRNs to licensees immune from civil liability for an act or omission in delivering patient care services while escorting an injured or sick person whose life is in danger in a conveyance that is not an ambulance. Section 30 is a conforming amendment. 31 adds APRNs to those practitioners authorized to draw blood for tests of persons charged with sexual offenses. Section 32 and 33 are conforming amendments. 34 clarifies that nurse midwives and direct entry midwives are certified. Section 35 and 30 through 38, conforming and technical amendments. Section 39 changes the term registered professional nursing to registered nursing. Section 40 clarifies that nurse midwives must be certified to be a provider under AS 2187, which is a statute that relates to hospitals. Section 41, conforming amendment. Section 42 to 43 clarifies that nurse midwives are certified and makes other technical amendments. Sections 44 to 46 are conforming amendments. Section 47 adds APRNs to the definition of healthcare provider and statutory provisions concerning prisons. Section 48 is conforming amendment that changes a statutory reference from advanced nurse practitioner to advanced practice registered nurse. 49 adds APRNs to licensees with particular training who can assess a child with respect to a waiver under statutory provisions. Basically, that relates to assessing situations for a Medicaid waiver. Section 50, conforming amendment. 51 adds APRNs to practitioners who are not liable for providing information to the Department of Health and Social Services for the purpose of providing services to certain children. And that section is in regard to hearing loss screenings. Sections 52 and 54.
Ms. Conway, I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. Could you back up and explain that for me? That section 52 that we're on?
That's section 51. It's 472320.
Madam Chair, newborns are assessed for hearing loss, and this is a screening process that simply adds nurse practitioners or clarifies that not only registered nurses can do it, but so can advanced practice registered nurses.
And 52, section 52? What did you say that it did?
No, that was, Madam Chair, that was section 51.
Okay.
Section 52 adds to 54 adds APRNs to practitioners who may, under statutory provisions concerning mental health commitment, determine if a person could be administered psychotropic medication without the person's consent, and adds APRNs with particular training to the definition of a mental health professional for those reasons. Section 55 adds APRNs to
brief at ease. back on the record. Ms. Conway.
Jane Conway, staff to Senator Giesel, to continue with Section 55, which adds APRNs to practitioners who may review a health care plan for an assisted living home resident. Sections 56 and 59 are conforming amendments. Section 60 repeals specific statutes. Nurse anesthetist, statute relating to a nurse midwife, and statute related to nurse midwife. Those last two, one would be in a hospital service statute and a public welfare statute. So now that they're under APRN, those are repealed statutes. And then 61 sets the date, effective date, as July 1, 2015, as the effective date.
Ms. Conway, thank you for that walkthrough. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the sponsor or Jane, I think I understand the APR and consensus model. The question I have is, why did the nurse anesthetist seem to be outside of the supervised practical nurse structure in the past?
A licensed practical nurse is a two-year degree, and so you may be confusing some terms, and that happens a lot. The certified registered nurse anesthetist actually had their own section in nursing statutes all this time, and that's one of the things that we want to, that's what this bill corrects. It brings them all under the advanced practice title.
Okay. Yeah, Madam Chair. No, I understood it. That's perfect. That's what it seems to change, and it certainly seems to make sense to me. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
I think a nurse practitioner, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but usually nurse practitioners are under the supervision of some type of anesthesiologist. Nurse anesthetists are under the supervision of an anesthesiologist if they're out there actually doing the anesthesiology for.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Are there further questions from committee members in understanding what's before us? Senator Machicki.
Then that causes a follow-up for me. Maybe I don't understand it. So they used to be under an anesthesiologist. How does that change now? Would they'd be under the APRN who works together with the anesthesiologist?
Senator Giesel.
Senator Machicki, through the chair. This is Senator Giesel. I can't tell you how many decades it's been since nurse anesthetists were under the supervision of anesthesiologists, but it has been some time. They have been practicing independently actually for probably 30 years, same amount of time as advanced nurse practitioners.
Okay.
Thank you for introducing your legislation, Senator Giesel. I'd like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill number 53, an act relating to advanced practice registered nursing related to certified direct entry midwifery and providing for an effective date. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 53? Seeing and hearing none, off net in the Anchorage LIO, Lori Sarcone. Ms. Sarcone from APR in Alliance, are you there? If you could identify yourself for the record, any affiliation that you have, and then proceed with 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning. My name is Laura Sarcone. I am a certified nurse midwife and co-chair of the APRN Alliance. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of SB 53. This is a bill that the four advanced practice nursing groups have been working on for nearly 4 years. The APRN consensus model is a national best practice act. It puts consumers, employers, APRNs, the Board of Nursing, insurance companies, and the legislature on the same page. It standardizes licensing, accreditation, certification, and educational requirements for APRNs. The APRN Alliance has reviewed the fiscal note. We are comfortable with it and understand that the cost will be recovered through our licensing fees. I want to thank Senator Giesel for sponsoring this bill and championing this issue on behalf of her fellow APRNs. I urge you to vote in favor of SB 53. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sarcone. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person off net is Carrie Doyle. Ms. Doyle, are you there? And if so, if you'd identify yourself for the record and any affiliations, and then proceed with your testimony.
Hello, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
We can. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you. My name is Dr. Carrie Doyle. I am a clinical nurse specialist and represent the Alaska Clinical Nurse Specialist Association. I'm also a member of the Alaska APRN Alliance, which is comprised of all four advanced practice registered nurse specialties, AANA, the University of Anchorage, Alaska, and the Board of Nursing. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to testify in support of Senate Bill 53, which is an act related to advanced practice registered nursing that will align Alaska statute with a nationwide movement called the Consensus Model. The Consensus Model was developed through the National Council of State Boards of Nursing in conjunction with APRN groups from 48 different national nursing organizations. The uniformity will expedite insurance reimbursement by eliminating confusion about service providers, and it will allow APRNs from other states to more easily obtain Alaska licensure. Senate Bill 53 does not change the scope of practice for advanced nurse practitioners and nurse anesthetists, who will still be able to continue to provide the same high-quality, safe, accessible care that they have provided to Alaskans across the state for the last 34 years. They will just have a new name, APRN. I thank you for your time today and ask that you support Senate Bill 53. Thank you.
Ms. Doyle, thank you for testifying before Senate Finance today. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone else off net wishing to testify on Senate Bill 53? Anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill 53? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Bishop?
When we get to a point, I have a question for the bill sponsor and a comment.
Senator Giesel, if you'd come to the microphone. Senator Bishop.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Senator Giesel, I've read through all the letters of support, and they're all very complimentary and think this is the right way to go. And I've read your sponsor statement, and I'll just ask you, because I didn't want to ask the person online because they might not be able to hear the question clearly, but I just wanted to get clarification on one thing. It makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I just want to reemphasize that every one of these letters is consistent with your fourth bullet on your sponsor statement, and anything that we can do to streamline and expedite payments to our hospitals and our medical providers is something that we need to do. So thank you for that. The second piece of this puzzle that I read in these letters that I wanted to ask you for clarification on, and it makes a ton of sense, is this will, if you will, because you have clarity now, and an apple's an apple, if you will, that an individual coming to Alaska can readily, easily access an Alaska license easier. Not that the requirements are watered down, but reciprocity, if you will. I'm not saying it's reciprocity, but is that accurate? Because I read that in some of these letters that it was going to make it conforming.
Senator Bishop, through the chair, you're absolutely correct. It will facilitate reciprocity, in other words, the transfer or addition of a license in Alaska to someone's already credential in another state because of the uniform titles.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Thank you, Senator Giesel. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Giesel, as you look at Section 2090, you may have to have your staffer up here to decide that, but one of the questions has to do with it. It adds advanced practicing registered nurses to those licensees that are immune from civil liability. As you look at that, who are the other licensees that are already on the list of being immune from civil liability?
As Section 29 states, it's the registered nurse and the licensed practical nurse. So you see three licensee categories in Section 29, which is AS 1808-086E, or excuse me, C, Charlie. A registered nurse, or a registered or advanced practice registered nurse, so that's two right there, registered and advanced practice, or a licensed practical nurse who escorts a patient, in other words, in a private vehicle. as a Good Samaritan Act.
Last question, Madam Chairman, has to do with, have you heard from any of the regional health corporations as to whether they support this legislation?
I have not, Senator Olson, through the chair.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. No further questions.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Dunleavy.
Madam Chair, is this the time we can ask a question on the fiscal note?
You may ask that now. I've been planning on holding this bill. So if you'd like to ask the question
sure.
now, please.
Sure, Senator Giesel, obviously the fiscal situation for the state of Alaska is somewhat dire, and we've had discussions about cautioning folks with bills coming through with fiscal notes. Can you help alleviate some of that concern or justify the fiscal note to the best of your ability?
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy, through the chair. The fiscal note, as you will notice, and I don't know the technical term, you smarter people on finance do, but it will be paid for by licensees. This will come out of their licensing fees. $2,500 is the estimate for the cost.
Senator Dunleavy.
Just a follow-up. So for the record, no general funds coming out of the general general fund will be used for this fiscal note?
Thank you for the clarification, Senator Dunleavy, through the chair. You are correct. No general funds will be used.
Thank you.
Any further questions to understand Senate Bill 53? With that, I'd like the committee to set Senate Bill 53 aside. The next bill before the committee is Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 146. The document before us is backslash E. It's an act relating to optional exemption from the deferral of payment of municipal taxes on deteriorated property and relating to a municipal tax exemption for certain subdivided properties. If I could ask Representative Munoz and her staff, Terry Garvey, to join us at the microphones, identify themselves for the record, and introduce House Bill number 146.
Thank Welcome. You, Madam Chair. My name is Kathy Munoz. I represent District 34, and I appreciate the opportunity to present House Bill 146. House Bill 146 would give municipalities the option of exempting the increased value of a new subdivision until the lot started to sell or until a certain time period was met, up to 5 years. There's a lot of flexibility written into the proposal, and it comes about as a result of a request from the City and Borough of Juneau to look at ways to encourage new housing development, especially affordable housing. This is a tool that will allow will incentivize developers to develop lands and will hopefully keep the costs of those developments down. Currently, when a subdivision is, when the plat map is finalized and certified, the property assessment goes up considerably. It can go from, you know, a five-fold increase to a ten-fold increase. And so this is a tool that would allow the municipalities in those communities that have shortages of housing to work with the developer to exempt a portion or all of that increased valuation for a certain time period. There was an amendment that was added at the request of Senator Meyer, and staff to Senator Meyer is here to discuss that provision of the bill.
Is there any further questions from committee members on the introduction of House Bill 146? If I could have Senator Meyer's staff come to the microphone.
And thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Munoz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Edra Morledge, staff to Senator Meyer. The amendment that was made in the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee was the addition of some legislation that we had that was sponsored by Senator Meyer, which basically allowed for either a total or partial exemption or deferral of property tax for deteriorated properties, the rehabilitation of deteriorated properties. Basically, it did three things. The amendment, it clarifies that the 8-unit requirement that's currently in statute for the rehabilitation of deteriorated properties could be at the time of the application for the tax exemption or deferral, or at the completion of the project. It also allows multiple properties in a designated deteriorated property area by a municipality, multiple individual properties to be considered collectively for the 8-unit minimum. And finally, there was a technical fix of the inserting the word not where it had been omitted prior in the section on page 2. It's it is line 27, and that clarifies that deteriorated properties that are not less than 15 years old and have not undergone substantial rehabilitation would qualify under this section.
Thank you, Edra, for that introduction. Are there questions from committee members? Well, I'd like to open the public testimony on the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 146 from CRNA, Community and Regional Affairs. The version before us is /E. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to testify on House Bill 146? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to proceed off net. We have two folks signed up. Gabe Lehman. Gabe, are you there?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Mr. Lehman,
my name is Gabe.
You could identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and then provide 3 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Senate Finance Committee. My name is Gabe Lehman. I serve as the Executive Vice President and General Counsel for Cook Inlet Housing Authority, which serves most of South Central Alaska. HB 146 is good legislation. It will empower municipalities to offer certain property tax incentives that will encourage private developers to roll up their sleeves and get to work in some of Alaska's most challenging real estate markets. In particular, the provisions of HB 146 that pertain to optional municipal property tax incentives for the redevelopment of deteriorated property will be extremely impactful. To that end, HB 146 would clarify ambiguous provisions of an existing state statute and make improvements that will enhance its usefulness. However, neither the existing statute nor HB 146 requires municipalities to provide tax incentives of any kind. Municipalities have to, by ordinance, opt in if they wish to offer this tool to developers. Further, once a municipality opts in, it retains the ability to evaluate project applications on a case-by-case basis. Again, thank you for the opportunity to speak to the bill today. If passed, HB 146 will promote economic development. It will further empower municipalities to address blight and deterioration in a locally controlled manner, and better yet, it won't cost the state a dime. Thank you, and I'll be happy to address any questions the committee may have.
Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, the next person off net to testify is Chuck Homan from Eagle River. Mr. Homan, welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Chuck Homan from Eagle River, president of the Alaska State Home Building Association. We have provided a letter in support of House Bill 146, and I'm just calling this morning to express our support for the bill that gives the municipal governments the option to provide property tax incentives for subdivisions. And thank you for hearing the bill late in the session here, and that concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Homan. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none. Is there anyone else wishing to testify on House Bill 146? With that, the public hearing is closed on the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 146, CRA /E. I have a Mr. Ron Brown from the State Assessor's Office. Mr. Brown, are you there?
Madam Chair, yes, this is Ron Brown, State Assessor, standing by to answer any inquiries the committee might have.
Are there questions from committee members from the State Assessor's Office? Mr. Brown, can you tell me how, in a positive way or a negative way, that this bill might affect the values across the state of Alaska in comparison to the state treasury?
As contained in our fiscal note, this is an optional exemption. so as an optional exemption if a municipality were to adopt this legislation. There would be zero impact to the full value determination. As an optional exemption, it would be appraised and reported by the local municipality and within our office for the full value determination, added back into the full valuation for that community.
Mr. Brown, can you tell me how it affects the foundation formula?
For optional exemptions, what happens, unlike, say, a mandatory exemption such as the senior citizens or veterans exemption, that is not returned to the full value determination for the local community. An optional exemption, since that is an optional, that is a choice by the local community, that is reported to our office as part of the local municipality's annual report to the state assessor's office. The amount that they have chosen to exempt from their local tax base is returned to the local tax base for the full value determination and the local school contribution.
Does that positive or negative, this is Senator McKinnon again, does that positively or negatively affect the amount of money that the local community receives for their schools?
Madam Chair, since it is returned in full as reported and as appraised by the local assessor, that is neutral.
Thank you, Mr. Brown, for that assertion. To the representative, we need to probably hear from the Department of Education on how that works through the foundation formula. My understanding is there's a negative effect either to the state or to the local municipalities on the return for a contribution as the BSA is applied.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On behalf of Representative Munoz, this is Terry Harvey, and we will get that information to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, I'd like to set House Bill 146 aside. Is there any other items to come before the Senate Finance Committee this morning? Seeing and hearing none, this afternoon's meeting at 1:30 will have House Bill 158, Refined Fuel Surcharge Motor Fuel Tax. We'll be looking to Senator Machicki to help us with that particular piece of legislation. As I understand it, this is a similar bill that will be HB 158. That will be introduced and held this afternoon. We were supposed to hear HB 106, the Uniform Child Support Parentage, but we don't have that bill in our possession yet. With that, it's 10 a.m. Anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, we're adjourned. Good afternoon. If you're listening off net today, this is Senate Finance. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. It is 1:48. Before the committee today is going to be HB 158, Refined Fuel Surcharge and Motor Vehicle Task. With me at the table this afternoon, Co-Chairman Kelly. Vice Chairman Michicki. Senator Don Levy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson. We should be joined shortly by Senator Bishop and myself, Senator McKinnon. If I can invite Ms. Schein to the table. Senator Michicki, may I have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 158, Finance 29-LS0608/G before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of explanation. Ms. Schein.
For the record, my name is Erin Schein, and I'm staff to Senator Anna McKinnon. The work draft before you, version G of the Senate CS for House Bill number 158, Finance, incorporates two changes. On page 1, line 11, previously the amount was 0.001. We've changed that to 0.0095. On page 2, on line 3, previously bonded fuel was listed. We have removed this, and so there's a new number 3, 4, and 5. If you have any questions, I can answer them.
Are there any questions from committee members? I'll remove my objection. Is there any objections to the adoption of the Senate CS for House Bill number 158, Finance, /G? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for House Bill number 158, Finance, /G, dated 4/11/2015, is before the committee. If I can invite Representative Munoz and Crystal Kieneman. Ms. Kieneman, should we wait for Representative Munoz, or are you prepared to move forward?
Madam Chair, Representative Munoz does send her regards. She is stuck in another committee hearing right now.
Ms. Kieneman, can you present the bill before us?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Crystal Kieneman, staff to Representative Munoz. Thank you for the opportunity today to present House Bill 158. The version that we have before us, before you, that was just adopted, version G, is the same version as Senate Bill 86, which was passed out of this committee on April 7th, that was sponsored by Senator Michicki. This bill does add a 95 hundredths of a penny surcharge to refined fuel at the wholesale level on fuel that's sold, transferred, or used in the state. Revenue generated by this surcharge may be appropriated by the legislature to the Oil and Hazardous Substance Release and Prevention Account. I'm available to go into more depth if the chair wishes, and available for questions.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, what I'd like to do is open the public hearing. Thank you, Ms. Kieneman.
Thank you.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Is there anyone here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Bill, I'm sorry, for the CS, for House Bill number 158, Finance? Is there anyone off net wishing to testify on Senate CS for House Bill number 158, Finance? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Michicki.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I move to include a letter of intent to track the bill, if I may, and I can discuss what's included in the letter.
Does everyone have a copy of an intent letter from Senator Michicki? I'll object for purposes of discussion. Brief at ease.
we're back on the record. We were just making sure that the general public had copies of what we were about to discuss, at least here in Juneau. They are available. Senator Michicki.
Madam Chair, the reason for dropping the rate is to provide just enough to manage the SPAR fund in listening to concerns from folks out in the community around the state. This letter of intent asks the department to do a couple of things, and I'll just read it. It is the intent of the Alaska State Legislature that the report required by AS 4608060A be provided to the legislature not later than the 10th day following the convening of each regular session, and to include a comprehensive summary of department activities concerning the prevention account, including A, public outreach and education efforts to reduce the risk of spills, B, performance measures relating to spill prevention and response to spills of non-crude products, C, details of spill cleanup efforts, including costs and the use of in-house personnel, D, specific information for each spill cleanup on cost recovery efforts and results, and E, the summary of policy guidelines for determination of appropriate cost recovery decisions.
Are there questions from committee members on the letter of intent that would follow the bill? Seeing none, if I could ask the representatives staff to the table. Ms. Kinnaman, do you know if Representative Munoz has been made aware of the letter of intent and whether there is opposition or support of inclusion of that?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Again, for the record, my name is Crystal Kinnaman, staff to Representative Munoz. I have discussed this with the representative, both the changes that are included in the CS as well as the letter of intent, and she is supportive of those changes.
Thank you, Ms. Kinnaman. Are there questions for the bill sponsors? Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could ask the Division of Tax to the table. We do have Brandon Spanos online, but we also have Director Alpar in the audience. Welcome to Senate Finance.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Ken Alpar, Director of Tax Division, Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Mr. Alpar. Are you familiar with the letter of intent?
I did read it earlier this morning. I'm familiar with it. The letter seems to speak more to DEC's role in the actual cleanup and the operation of the division. I can't see where the Department of Revenue would have any issue one way or the other with that language.
Thank you. Senator Michicki, my only question regarding the letter of intent is the public outreach and education efforts to reduce the spill. I believe Kristen Ryan is in the audience from DEC. Could she come to the microphone, identify herself for the record, and then give us DEC's perspective of the letter of intent?
For the record, my name is Kristen Ryan. I'm the director for the Division of Spill Prevention and Response in the Department of Environmental Conservation. We've reviewed the letter of intent language and are comfortable with these requirements. We already provide a biannual report, so these are just additional things that we'll provide when we share that report with the legislature. Where our understanding from Senator Michicki's office is that he's interested in the efforts that we do to have outreach and educational events to help people prevent spills from occurring, so we would document those activities.
Thank you. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Kristen, I would appreciate under the education requirement, if the department would come by my office. I think I have some value to add to that.
Senator Michicki.
Also want to clarify, this is reporting only. They already produce a report. This makes it annual instead of biannual. It doesn't require printing of the report, so there's no cost, which is my understanding, Ms. Ryan.
Right. Senator Michicki, that is what I wanted to get on the record, that we don't expect any additional dollars to go to public outreach and education, but that there are funds available to do that already. Ms. Ryan?
For the record, yes, we already cataloging and can provide this information as part of our annual report electronically, as we already do, without an additional cost.
Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I've spent a lot of time on this since we first had the reapprobes, that we didn't want the state to kick in for something that the state wasn't doing. And I'll tell you, I've been to every link on the SPAR site, and I have to say that you've done a very good job on providing several brochures that are in the areas that are most commonly spilled in Alaska. So I think they've done a good job. I think anything they do to increase the distribution of those brochures would be helpful. But I have to say, if any of you have an opportunity to go on the SPAR site, I was impressed once I investigated their actual efforts that are ongoing.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Thank you, Ms. Ryan. Senator Dunleavy.
You read my mind. I used the process protocol. So the letter I'm asking you, Madam Chair, is included now if the bill is passed out of committee. It's concluded as part of the packet, but not language in the bill.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? Any other questions on the letter of intent? I'll remove my objection from the adoption of the letter of intent. Is there any further objections? Mr. Alpar, Ms. Ryan, thank you for joining us in Senate Finance today.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
The public hearing's been open and closed. We're hearing and holding that bill. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing and hearing none, tomorrow's agenda will be online at 4 o'clock later today. With that, Senate Finance is adjourned.